Turn with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 1. In keeping with your theme, sufficient servants, one of the responsibilities of a sufficient servant is to serve as a witness to the saving grace of the Lord Christ. And we have a statement to that fact in verse 8 that we meditated upon this morning as we began. I want to begin reading at verse 1, so read along with me if you would. The former treatise I have made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen by them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he saith, ye have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of it to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. A couple of things that I would like to, just by way of introduction, point out to you in regards to verse 8. First of all, it's in the indicative mood. So it is a statement of fact rather than a command to act. If you fly the banner of Christ, if you claim to be a Christian, you are giving a witness. You are a witness. You may be a good one or you may be a bad one, but you're giving a witness concerning the Lord Christ. So it's a statement of fact. Not only that, but this word witness has a history. In the original text, of course, we get our word martyr from this word. I'm sure that this isn't news to those of you who are budding Greek scholars, but nonetheless, the word bears testimony, and the way it entered into the English language bears testimony to the effectiveness of those early church Christians, those early believers in the early church. It gives witness to as to how effective they were. A martyr is someone who gives their life for a cause. And this was happening so often in the history of the early church that this word was brought over and is translated here as witness. And so they were paying the ultimate price. And that was indeed an effective witness. I believe it was one of the church fathers, Tertullian, if my memory serves me correct, who said that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. And so I would say by every test that could be given, by every evaluation that may be given to them, they were effective witnesses, because it was through that kind of a witness that the church spread very quickly in those early days. And so they were effective. Another thing that I would point out just by way of introduction is that the book of Acts is actually volume 2 of a 2-volume set that was written by Dr. Luke. And of course, the first volume was the Gospel of Luke. And so we'll be referring to that book as well this morning as we try to answer the question, what does it take to be an effective witness for Jesus Christ? I want to share with you three things We won't get to all three things, just because it's not in my blood to be short and concise and to the point. I've tried. It doesn't work. And so we're going to drill down on maybe a couple of them. But those three things that it takes, and I think that we find here in our text, first of all, is to be certain regarding the truth of the living Christ. Verse 3, he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. The Lord Christ knew that these disciples and all of those that would come after them would need to be certain of the living Christ. And so he gave to them many infallible proofs. And if you take your Bibles and you go over to the Gospel of Luke, we see that this echoes what Luke was writing to Theophilus as he penned these words in volume 1, if you will. He gives his purpose beginning at verse 3. He said in chapter 1 of Luke, he said, "It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto you in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." And so the very first thing is to know for certainty the truths that you've been taught about the living Christ. In order to be an effective witness, you have to be certain of those things. The second thing that we may get an opportunity to brush up against is to be committed to the authority and the purposes of God. To be committed to the authority and the purposes of God, not only for your life, but for His plan throughout the ages and the world. To be committed to that. Again, if you look at verse 3 of chapter 1 of Acts, the Lord Christ was with His disciples for 40 days after the resurrection. And if you notice, not only during that 40 days did He give to them these many infallible proofs concerning His living being, but He also was speaking to them pertaining to the kingdom of God. And while I know that there are scholars who nuance this phrase, kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven, I think that what the Lord Christ has here is not necessarily the various details that pertain to these things, but His general, broad, and overall plan. God is going to establish His kingdom. It's going to happen. Revelation chapter 11, I believe, teaches us that the kingdoms of this world will indeed become the kingdoms of our Lord. God is up to something. And He has the authority to bring it to pass. And He spent 40 days with His disciples making sure that they understood those things. And so it's important for us to be committed to the authority of God, to be submitted to it, and to be committed to His purposes. There's nothing in the world that you can experience that will eclipse that. The accomplishment of God's will in your life. What in the world could ever be greater than that? No amount of wealth, no status, no level that you may achieve in this world could ever accomplish that or could ever eclipse that. And so be committed to it. And then last of all, and we won't get there, but this is a freebie. This is for you to go look at. But be dependent upon the Holy Spirit to work in you in order that He might be able to work through you. Look, if you would, at verse 4. And being assembled together with them, He commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, "Ye have heard from Me." And so, wait for the Spirit of God to do His work in you in order that He might be able to do His work through you. Now let's go back to that first one. Be certain. Be certain of the truth regarding the living Christ. If you go back to Luke chapter 1, you see that Luke is writing to a man by the name of Theophilus. His name means lover of God. We don't know if that was just a hope that perhaps his parents had bestowed upon him, or if it was indeed an actual fact about him. But look at verse 4. He says, Theophilus, I'm writing these things to you so that you might know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed, that you might know for certain. You see that word certain? It has the idea of security. It has the idea of something being locked down. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 23, when Peter and John were arrested and jailed for preaching the gospel, the word that is used to describe the condition of the door of the prison was this very same word. It was locked down. It was secured. It was nailed down. And this is the word that Luke uses as he instructs Theophilus, and he said, I know that you've been taught some things. I know that you've been instructed. There are some details about Christianity and the church and the life of Christ that you know. But he says, I'm writing these things to you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you might nail them down, so that you might secure them in your heart. And church, well, students, it's hard for me to separate in preaching when I'm preaching to a church and to a body of students, and so forgive me if I stumble in that. But let me tell you something. You need to be certain of the truths that you're learning here in this institution. And you need to nail those down in your own heart and for yourself. And the reason being is because whenever you leave the halls of this institution and you enter into the fray of the local church ministry, those truths and those facts and those things that you've learned here are going to be tested. I'm absolutely certain that that day, whenever that jailer locked John and Peter in that jail cell and he closed that door, I'll guarantee you that whenever he turned the key, he rattled that door to make sure that it was latched. And whenever you leave the halls of this institution, if you think for one moment that you're going to enter into that world out there and that they're not going to rattle your door, you better make sure that these truths are settled in your heart, that they're settled in your soul and in your mind. You see, this is not the only place that Luke uses this title, Most Excellent. He used it also with Felix. When Paul stood before him in trial, he referred to him as Most Excellent Felix. And you see, it was said of Felix that he knew the exact way, or the exact truth about the way. And that's the term that was used to describe Christians and the church and Christianity in those early days. It was called the way. And Felix knew certain things about the way, but those things were not certain in his heart. Those things were not certain in his mind. And perhaps this morning I'm speaking to some most excellent people who know some things about Christianity and who know some things about God and the Bible and the church. Maybe I'm speaking to some of those folks that are most excellent people. I'm certain I am. And just because you know some things and you've been taught some things, you need to make certain of those things in your own heart, in your own mind. And I want to share with you two things about being certain, if I can. First of all, I want to help you learn how to be certain. How do you be certain? Whenever Luke was writing to Theophilus in his first volume here in verse 3, he says, "It seems good to me also, having had perfect understanding." Now that phrase, perfect understanding, is difficult for us in our Western thinking to translate and to get exactly what Luke was trying to say. If we were to drill down on that just a little bit, what Luke is saying here is that he said, "I have followed carefully the things that I've seen, the things that I've heard." He said, I have followed them carefully. The New American Standard Bible translates this as investigated thoroughly. Investigated thoroughly. Students, I want to encourage you. And let me put on my professor's hat here for just a moment. That while you're here, and while you are engaged in the discipline of the study of God's Word, take those studies seriously. Be willing to investigate thoroughly, and be willing to follow carefully. That's what Luke did, and that's what he's encouraging Theophilus to do. You see, I think I can speak with a measure of authority here, having served and currently serving as a part of the adjunct faculty here. There's not a professor here. There's not a person on staff here that designs those classes and designs those assignments for their entertainment. They don't do that. And they don't assign research papers and exams to be taken so that they can sit by the fireside in their lounge pants and grade them. That's not why they do that. They do that for your learning. They do that for your benefit. You see, I think that I'm not alone whenever I see myself as making an investment in your life. And that's the way I see it. Because you see, there's going to come a day, more than likely, whenever I'm going to die before you do. And I'm going to be up there in the presence of the Lord, wallowing around in His glory. And you're going to be down here slugging it out in this sin-cursed world. And I'm going to be receiving returns on my investment from your life. You better make sure I get a return. Okay? And the way you do that, the way you build this certainty into your life is you investigate thoroughly using the assignments and the reading and all of the... Milk these professors for everything they're worth, okay? You see, if you do the assignment just to get a good grade so that it builds your ego, and that's the reason that you do your assignments, you're not going to be certain of these things. And you see, if you just do the assignment in order to be able to check it off of your calendar, whenever you leave out of the halls of this institution, then the hinges on your door is going to be loose, and whenever the world comes and shakes that door, it might not hold. You might be like the most excellent Felix. That's not good. You see, don't think for a moment, folks, that just because you know some things, that's good enough. No, you need to be certain of those things in order to be an effective witness, because you're going to be tried. So do those assignments. Do that study. Give yourself to that discipline for your own purposes and for your own good, to enrich your own heart. And don't be afraid to investigate these things thoroughly. You see, the Bible stands. Investigate all you want to investigate. There has been more than one skeptic that has done the investigation and come away as a believer. Let me just share some with you. Lee Strobel, who was an investigative reporter for the Chicago Tribune, whose wife got saved. He thought because her life was changing so dramatically that she had been caught up in a cult. He set about to investigate these truths concerning the living Christ in order to disprove this cult and free his wife from her. And as he did his study, he became convicted by the Holy Spirit of God, and he wrote a book instead called The Case for Christ. He's not the only one. Josh McDowell, a student at Princeton, met a young lady that he was infatuated with, and he sought to court a relationship with her. She would not date him because she was a believer. She invited him instead to her Bible study. And he set about with the same objective to disprove the Bible so that he could destroy her faith and she would finally be willing to date him. He wrote a book, Evidence That Demands a Verdict. You see, the Bible stands. And I'm glad to see, I checked in the hymnal, it's still there. It's like a rock undaunted. So don't be afraid, students, to investigate thoroughly. I could tell you about Frank Morrison, whose book was Who Moved the Stone? But investigate thoroughly and follow carefully in order that the truths that you're learning may be nailed down in your own heart so that whenever you enter the fray and the world comes shaking on your door, they'll find it secure. And that's how. I want to tell you why. I've already told you one of them. I jumped ahead of myself. Personally, you don't want to wash out in ministry. Why? You don't want to wash out in ministry. You see, class, he that standeth, take heed lest he fall. I pass through the halls of this institution as well. And unfortunately, there are a number of my classmates that sat where you're sitting. Well, we didn't have this building when I was here. I was back in the age of dinosaurs. We were over where the library is now, but there were students who were my classmates, and it pains me, but some of those students are no longer preaching the gospel. Some of those students don't even believe the gospel that they at one time studied and had the same opportunities that you do. They no longer proclaim that. Even some of the students that I've had the privilege as an adjunct professor to teach here, I have occasion to follow them and see how they're doing, and some of them have washed out. Why? Because these truths were not certain in their heart. They knew the facts, and they were like Felix. They knew the way. But it wasn't theirs. It wasn't personal. So you don't want to be like that. As a matter of fact, some of them are sitting in jail because they washed out. They gave in to the flesh. But another reason, not just personally, but vocationally. As you enter into the ministry, you're going out into a broken world, broken people, broken families, and broken churches. And the compromises and the philosophies of the world won't fix that, won't help that. The only real hope that this world has is the strong truth of God's Word. And let me, after 27 years of ministry here and 5 years prior to that in Northern Virginia, let me say this to you. You can have confidence in the word that you're learning and that you're nailing down in your own heart. It is sufficient. It is sufficient. It's capable. But you need to have the confidence that it's capable of doing what it can do in the hearts and lives of people as the Holy Spirit of God is able to press that into their hearts. It must first be pressed into yours, lest you be tempted to assimilate the ways and the philosophies and the programs of man and to substitute that for the Word of God. Don't do it. Don't replace it. Don't replace it with anything that the world offers you. And don't think for a moment that there's not going to be pressure, even from some of your peers, to do that. Be certain. The world will rattle your door. And people will challenge the sufficiency of the Scriptures. But the only way that you can be a sufficient servant and give witness and testimony to the living Christ is if you are certain of these truths that have been given to us and stands to this day as a rock undaunted. Well, we didn't even brush up against number two. But our time has come and gone. And I trust and pray that you will be diligent to make certain of the things that you're being taught.